Say hello first.
I just wanted to see if, you know, you wanted to do some opening thing. So we have our 101 books, as you know, that helps you and guides you through, is a complement to the Word of God and for new beginners. And so we've always had our English speaking or English language translation of the 101 book. And it's been an absolute blessing, so much so that we have also now have it in Spanish. And yeah, we're waiting, praise God, for the sister in Christ, right? Lisa, one of our ministers, was able to translate this 100%.
Yeah.
We are proofreading it right now, but it's going to be ready to go very shortly. Praise God. Yeah. And so these have been awesome. I've had, I've sent them out to friends, and they've called back and said, thank you, it was an absolute blessing. Yes. And it helped them in areas where they just didn't understand. Why do you believe in the Trinity? Why do we get baptized? Why do we believe in the Holy Spirit? All those questions and answers are right in here. What is a tallit?
Right.
Right in here.
Yeah.
So all those kind of open-ended questions as new believers, they are in here.
Amen.
And they're followed up by scripture so you can refer back to the Word of God. Amen?
Can I have one of those?
Yes.
That was so a cringy awful commercial.
Oh, and it's free.
It's free.
That's what I was waiting for you to say, Pastor. So okay. Pastor Ben has worked tirelessly, and it's so awesome. Even things have come up where people say, well, do we deal with, you know, witchcraft? Well, then we the book.
Yes.
We like, okay, well, we do need to add a section in there.
That's true.
So there's things that they're on your heart. Please don't be shy about it. Let's talk about it so we can deal with it.
Amen.
We'll mail it to you, or we'll mail it to you free.
Free.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Please stand.
Okay.
For our prayer.
Prayer. Let's pray in.
Let's pray in.
Last time.
Stretch your hands towards Pastor, and we'll let him get started. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this blessed day, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, that you continue to encourage our hearts in these last and evil times, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Jesus, that you have covered the body, dear Lord, and you've given us a reason, dear Jesus, a blessed hope, dear Lord, because we recognize, dear Jesus, we are yet but guests on this earth, dear Lord, and we get to look up and we get to look forward, our heavenly right home. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. She was going in.
Amen.
She was going in. She was going in. I've seen it before. You got to pull it back when she go in. All right. Praise the Lord. How's everybody?
Blessed.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. All right. Yeshua Tov me old. Jesus is very good. Okay, I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do first before I get started. And what he told me to do first is extend it forward, right? How many of you guys remember Daniel Hood? Daniel, who used to go to... Daniel Hood went to this church till about 2009, right? He had he's the young man who got... He had got shot at a coming out of a house party, and they took him to the hospital, and he died at the hospital. And so his mom came and got him, you know, came to see his body, and they pushed his body out. And then his grandmother came by, I think he said 11 o'clock at night, and they brought him out again, identify the body. And then they put him back in. And then the next day, his mother and said, we were taking your son out to go get to the coroner's or whatever. He said, and he has a pulse. Come to the hospital. So go to the hospital. Daniel's sitting up drinking orange juice. Okay. So say, hey, my question to him was, did you go into the light? Did you see God? And he said, no, I went into a dark tunnel. And he said, and inside the tunnel was, I was being escalated through this tunnel, and I was on my way, because at the end of the tunnel was flames. And he said, but in the tunnel, I could hear people screaming outside of the tunnel, and I could see the faces of demons. And he said, it was like they were saying, you know, he said, you could hear people saying, like, don't come here, don't come here. And he's going through the tunnel, and he's saying, he's seeing the flames. And right before he went in the flames, he said, he thumped back into his body. And so I only could say that Jesus said, mercy on you, and brought you back. And so he came back, but what I wanted you to know is what he said. He said, the entrance into hell is through a tunnel. And he said, the flames are on, hell is around the tunnel. That's what he says. His testimony is on YouTube, if you want to see it. He says, the hell is around the tunnel, but you can hear it as you're being escalated through the tunnel, right? Okay, how many of you guys know what happened with this Travis Scott concert? Okay, huh? It was a ritual. It was definitely a satanic ritual. And I think 8 people got killed, murdered, right? Okay, now, did you see the stage? The stage was a tunnel. And outside of the stage was flames. On the outside of the stage was flames. So I'm wondering, where did he get the same exact idea? Because inside the tunnel at the back, it said, see you on the other side. So he only could get the idea of how a person enters into hell from a demon. Okay, so I'm just saying, now they had a 14-year-old who's still in the hospital, a 9-year-old, they had a 5-year-old dancing on the stage before the whole thing went down. So I'm just saying, if we don't think about who we're allowing our children to be entertained by, because there was how many thousands of people at that concert? It was a lot of people. I mean, most of us, I mean, you would think most parents would be like, you, my children ain't gonna be here. No, Travis, you know Travis got a Satan worshiper, right? So most people wouldn't let their children even be at the concert. But this concert was packed. And so that means that somebody's not doing any parenting or any watching or anything, right? So I want you guys to know, be careful on this entertainment, because it's not like when we were growing up. Now you have these Nephilim entertainers and they're worshiping Satan. Now, who would think that Bill Clinton and Travis Scott are good friends?
What?
They're good friends. Now, how is that possible? The ex-president of the United States, white guy, and Travis Scott, who looks like, you know, probably me at 17 with braids hanging everywhere, right? And they're good friends. I said, how did Travis Scott and Bill Clinton become good friends? And the Holy Spirit just said, Nephilim hang with Nephilim.
Yeah.
You don't understand yet. Demons hang with demons. Soon as Barack Obama became president, who did he decide is going to sing at his inauguration? Beyonce and Jay-Z, right? Because demons hang with demons, okay? So you guys have to know you're living in a complete different time than what we grew up in, okay? I shouldn't have to say any more, but I'm just going to say, everybody that says Jesus don't mean they with Jesus, okay? And don't be at home listening to Kanye talking about he changed, because he didn't. You know, I don't want to go through that study again, but I'm telling you right now, that music, Satan was in charge of music in heaven. He knows how to use music to open portals. In fact, if you want to learn yoga, you can go on and they'll give you music that will help open your pineal gland so that you can elevate in yoga. Because they know that music opens portals. Satan knows music opens portals. So you got to be careful just throwing on anything in your house because the beat sounds good, okay? You're living in a different time. So anyway, the Lord told me to start with that, and I did. Praise God. All right. I had my first encounter of, you are close to the tribulation. Me and Drea were about to go to a football game yesterday, and we got to the stadium at UCLA, and they said, oh, if you don't have your vaccine, you can't come in. You have your vaccine papers? And I was like, no. What do you have? Did you take a test within the last 3 days? Like, no, we're against the whole thing. Well, they're not going to let you in. So they wouldn't even let us get on the bus to get closer to the stadium. We was like, we just got in the car and we went and walked around for a little while. So we're walking around and I'm looking and it looks like the Twilight Zone. Everybody has masks on, except for maybe one or two people here or there. And even the babies in the carriages, they're pushing and they both have masks. And they got the baby down there with a mask on too. I'm like, they have the whole world in this whole pandemic fear. Is that it's absolutely crazy. So we are living right before tribulation happens, okay? And if you don't understand what the tribulation is God taking his church out of the world and Satan taking over for a 7-year period. And when that happens and God's people are in heaven, it'll be worse than you could even possibly think of, okay? So I want you guys to know, you're at the door, we are so close to this world entering to tribulation. And I was trying to ask God, because I was watching all these people yesterday, I was asking God, like, is there another way to end this than all these people go through tribulation? And the Lord really referred me back to another teaching. He's like, you know, what you see is beautiful to you because you see the outside. Oh, that's a nice family. That's a nice person. But God only sees, is his spirit inside that person or not, okay? Because what's beautiful to God is what his spirit lives inside of, okay? Because you can be just as cute as ever and hate Jesus. And that's what God sees. You understand? So we are so close to this tribulation. Now, I want you to know that the Bible is the only book in the whole world that tells you the future before it happens. You understand? And by doing that, it gives you confirmation that the book comes from an outside source, okay? God is the one who wrote the Bible, and in doing so, he said, I'm going to tell you everything that's going to happen in history for the next 6,000 years, and it's all going to happen just like I said. And so, as you read the Bible and you begin to see prophecies and everything going exactly the way God said, you then understand the Bible is 100% correct. And if it's been correct about the history, it's also correct about the rest of it, which is the fulfillment of the rest of the prophecies. I don't want anybody to go through tribulation. My heart was broken yesterday as me and Drea was walking around. I couldn't believe it. I just felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I was like, people, I know we're smarter than this. Did we just accept it? And like, you know, and didn't people used to rebel and have revolutions and all that stuff? But with the incorporation of television, they got your mind. And so if you're watching TV all day, that's the truth. And so here we are, very short time before tribulation begins and the church leaves, and we're here. So I want us to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And let's get started here. You're in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be as signs and seasons for days and years, and let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two lights, two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which is what? The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night, which was the moon. Then it says, and he also made stars, chachavim in the Hebrew, okay? So the word star has a numerical value of 48 because there are 48 constellations in the stars. There's not 12, there's actually 48. And the star constellations tell you the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ for the world. It tells you there's going to be a virgin. And that's where you guys get Virgo. And it says she's going to have a child. And then they say this child is going to be a lamb. That's where you get Aries. Okay? And eventually that child is going to return as the Lion of Judah. And that's where you get Leo and all of these things. But if you do a study on it, you'll find out the whole gospel plan is inside of the stars. Now, if I keep reading here, it says that, and he also made stars. He set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Vahiyerev, vahiboker, yom arba. So he says he saw there was evening and there was morning. And that was the fourth day. In the fourth day, he already has the gospel plan in the stars. Think about it. He doesn't make man until the sixth day. So that means that God had already pre-planned for your salvation before he even made man. Before he created man, he had already put the plan of salvation in the stars, in case this don't go right. That's what I'm thinking, okay? In case, you know, Adam and Eve decide something else, because, you know, it was a great thing with the angels, but in case something don't go right, I got the right to kick you up out of here, right? Because Satan was like, yeah, I'm bringing in the music, I'm doing all this, and then God said he found that he had iniquity in his heart and he had to go, right? So God is pre-planning our salvation, okay? And it's very good for you to know and understand that, because some of us don't really understand that when you were born, God was already thinking of you. When you were a little boy or a little girl, God was already thinking about you. He was already trying to figure out how we're going to get you through this, because he knows what you're going to go through as a child, right? He's trying to figure out how I'm going to get that person to Christ. How am I going to be able to maneuver? How am I going to be able to supply? How am I going to keep them mentally stable through all this mess? So God is thinking about you. And Jesus says, when he was on the cross, he was doing it for all of the people that would be born later, okay? And that's in Psalms chapter 22. So the crucifixion was in God's heart, not just for the people now. He says it's for everybody that's going to be born after this, okay? So that means God was thinking about your salvation. Let's continue. Genesis chapter, is that 1 verse 26? Is it? No, it can't be Genesis 1 verse 26. I think it's 5 verse 26. Lamech. Okay. And Terah. Let's see here. I'm trying to get to, and I know I wrote it down wrong because I have to have, where it says that Terah had lived 70 years, and he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Amen. So, as you're going through this genealogy in the Bible, you will see the birth of all of these people. But then Terah was the father of Abraham, and when he turned 70, he began to have his three sons, okay? Abram, Nahor, and then when he has these three sons, that just, when he begins having his son, that year in the Bible is the 1948th year, okay? So Abraham's father begins having his children in the 1948th year of the Bible. That means that God has already solidified that 1948 after Adam is going to be a very important year. But remember, the Bible is always prophesying about what? The future. Oh, I wish you could understand that. God would say something in Genesis and he's talking about something far off. He's just giving you an example.
Yeah.
So he says, Abraham's father began to have children, and Abraham becomes the father of the nation of Israel, of the Hebrew people. So the scripture then tells us what? That there is a second Adam. And who's the second Adam? Jesus Christ. So how is it that we have that we're in year 2021? It's 2021 years after what? Definitely not after creation. So we're talking about a count that began after Jesus. So when 1948 came and the nation of Israel was rebirthed, God already knew that in 1948 years after the second Adam, that the nation of Israel was going to be rebirthed. So that means God already knew history before it even appeared. And this is what you have to understand, because what we saw in 2020 and 2021 was already spoken about in Genesis chapter 6. But when God spoke it, he was saying what Jesus says, and in the end is going to be as it was in the days of Noah. So we're already in that prophecy and about to fulfill it, and nobody knows that the world is about to go into tribulation. And some people don't understand what tribulation is going to be. So they think that, oh, they could, or some, I've heard some Christians says, we should want to stay so we can help people. I'm like, no thanks. I am not with you. Because you don't understand tribulation is why you would say something so silly. Because tribulation is about getting rid of as many people as possible. We are in the middle of a depopulation plan that is so diabolical. If you looked at it, you would say, how is it that any human being would want to do this to other human beings? Because we think that it's human beings that we're warring against.
Right.
We're not. I want to emphasize that to you. Human beings don't do what these people do, and they don't plan what these people plan. You understand? So this is a spiritual war. Because they've been able to work with cloning and all this type of stuff, and they can produce a human that looks like a human, does not mean that they're going to act like humans.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
Let's continue. So I want you guys to know, 1917, when Jerusalem got declared to give it back to the Jews, was pre-planned by God. 50 years later would be a jubilee. 1967, Jerusalem was won back to the Jews. That was pre-planned by God. 2017, when Trump said Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, that was 50 years later, jubilee, pre-planned by God. So 2017 should have told all of us, God's still working. But 2020 should have told us, get ready. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. You hear that? He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in this last time for your sake. So the pre-plan of Christ coming into the world, dying for your sins, so that you can have a way to be redeemed through grace. You understand that? Because if it's not grace, you gotta work your way up. But if it's by grace, you can come in just as you are. And a lot of times when we come in, we think, I'm gonna be the best Christian ever, you know? Like, I'm gonna be MVP Christian. But I've needed more grace from God than I thought I would have. I thought, I'm in. But as you're growing in Christ, you find that, hey, I have an enemy, and half of it is me. And so you realize, and then you realize all something, God has more forgiveness than you ever thought you needed. So the whole thing is, you're being saved through love and through grace. God told me something this morning. He said, Satan never comes to me to try to get me to give up on my children, because he has the love and the patience and the kindness to endure you. Okay? So he always comes to you to try to get you to give up. Because maybe he can get you to turn, but he knows he can't get God to turn. So he comes to you and he says, you should give up. And then God's like, you know, I would never give up. So the attack is always going to be against you to want to give up. It never comes from God. You never hear God say, I'm done with you. That's right. And God's like, okay, I'm gonna work out. He's like that navigation system, right? Uh-huh. All right, okay, go up here and make a U-turn. Okay, you went the wrong way again. Well, I'm gonna recalculate again. But I'm gonna get you, girl. You know, I'm gonna recalculate again. And eventually I become a pastor. But that was a lot of recalculation. You know what I mean? So that's the one thing I want you to know that the Lord reminded me this morning. He has never given up on you. So Satan is gonna always try to get you to give up on him.
Amen.
Okay, now, I want us to go to, if you can, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. And I believe we're going to be about 17 verse... Round 24. Okay. Okay, here it is. Okay, now 17 is this whole prayer from Jesus to God, okay? This is Jesus making a request for God for his people, okay, for all these people who are believing him. And so in verse 24, it says, Father, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. You hear that? So Jesus is asking God, these people that believe in me, this is what I want. I want them to be with me in glory so that they can be where I am. He wants you to see his glory. You cannot see his glory on earth. Jesus is already letting you know, my request is that someday you become like Sheba, you come, or Queen of Sheba, and you come to my place and see my glory and see my wealth and see what I have going on in my house. So Jesus is asking and requesting God to do this.
Amen.
Let's go backwards to chapter 14. It says here, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and perilambano, which means like rapture, take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. It's the same thing he says in 17, right? So he says he's going to come back and take you so you can be where he is. I'm telling you, we are the Queen of Sheba.
Yeah.
You're going to see the king's palace. You're going to see his glory, because this is his request to God, that not only that you become into knowledge of him, but at some time, since he already came down and tabernacled with you, that one day you can come up and tabernacle with him and see his glory.
Yeah.
So this is now. This is written before the creation of the world. You understand? This is pre-planned before the creation of the world. Jesus Christ, it says him dying on the cross, it was already solidified before he created the world. You understand? So the rapture is not something that God has to think about how he's going to do it. He already said it was done before. You understand? So tribulation's a done deal. That's what the Lord told me the other day. No, that's a done deal. You can't turn that back. I already said it. I know you see people as being good, but I see them for who they are. And I only see gold. I only see who my spirit is in. You see, you know, a husband and a wife walking with their family, and you want something that I can't give you, and that is I can't bypass the fact that they don't have what it takes for the kingdom, because if you let anything into the kingdom, you'll ruin everything.
Yes. Amen.
Because it only takes a little disease to ruin a lot. You understand? Remember, Satan was there. And a third of the angels, and we don't even know how many a third were,
right.
But a third of the angels got infected with what he had. And so God is not going to let people just come on in because Pastor Sandy feels bad for you. It's not going to, he said, it's a done deal. People are going to go through tribulation, millions of people. Millions of people are going to die. Millions of people are going to die. He said, wow, is this, guess what? World War I, World War II, guess how many people died? Millions of people. Who you think orchestrated those wars? The same demonic spirit that's going to be controlling the tribulation, okay? And the tribulation is coming. If I was somebody, just for my family's sake, I would accept Christ so that I could be in heaven with me and my family and my kids.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, I'm gonna fight this fight for my family.
Yeah.
But people don't really understand how bad it's gonna be. So to them, I'm just gonna have a good time and see how it works out, okay? I'm gonna finish reading this, okay? It says, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? Infinitive. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Okay? No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. You hear that, what Jesus just said? Not only do you know him, you've seen him. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? That's Jesus telling you who he is. Because Isaiah 9:6 says, a child is born unto us, and he shall be wonderful counselor, the mighty God, and the everlasting Father.
Yep.
That was the weirdest scripture to me when I was a kid. Like, how can the child also be the everlasting Father? Either you're the child or you're the Father, but you can't. In our eyes, we can't see that. God understands I can birth myself into the world, and my presence can also still be in heaven. The physicists, because you know I'd be studying a lot of crazy stuff, like I think if I went back to school, I'd be a genius. But they were doing this thing on quantum physics, right? And they were saying, like, they could see that there are, through the motions of the vibrations, they could see spirits on the other side. They're building quantum computers because they want to communicate with demonic spirits, right? But he said, there is a spirit on the other side that can be here and on this side at the same time, and we haven't figured out what's that spirit. And I said, because you're dumb. So, and he says, and there's no difference between the two, because they, with this quantum physics, they could see, wow, the same spirit is here and there. How is this possible? But with the other spirits, it could only be here or it can be there. So he's like, something is up with this one, but we can't figure it out. Once we do, but that's intelligence, right? So I want you guys to know that Jesus is God. Among you, don't Amen. You? Okay, praise God. That deserves an applause. Okay. All right, now I can get to the message. Okay, listen. Noah and the Ark is about Jesus Christ and the church.
Yes.
Noah and the Ark is not about God and Israel. Noah and the Ark is a prophecy concerning our grace and our rest, which is what Noah means, forward and backwards. He's grace, okay, backwards, and he's rest going forward. Our grace and our rest is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's about our grace and our rest building us something to make sure we're protected when danger comes, so he can take us, his seven children, out of the world,
yeah.
Okay? So this prophecy is being prophesied to a group of seven that in the future, I'm going to save you.
Amen.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. It says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves and for of all them that they chose. So these sons of God, which means Benahai Elohim, they see these beautiful women that are being born to men, and they decide, we're going to take some of them to be wives for ourselves and have children. Now, these sons of God were angels. So someone says, well, how can an angel and a woman have a child? Well, an angel can appear as a human and be in that form,
yes,
if it wants to.
Yes.
Even today, Christ reminds us of that. Be careful when you're entertaining angels, because some of us have entertained angels unaware. So be careful when you're entertaining strangers, because some of us have entertained angels unaware. So in the book of Enoch, it tells you that these angels would take on the form of a human, and then they would go to these women so that they could have children. This created the problem of having a demonic system in the world that now, because God said they're not supposed to be here, and God destroyed their offspring, now they're saying, we're going to come back, find a way to come back, and we're going to destroy the people that you created. So this is a spiritual war, because in the Old Testament, you're going to see many times where God tells the Hebrews, go into that land, and when you get there, kill the women, kill the children, kill the animals, kill the husbands, kill everything. And you got, God, what are you doing? Because he's like, God is mean. He's like, no, these people are not human. These people are Nephilim. They're half human and half angels, and they're not supposed to be in the earth. So God was able to get rid of, well, most of them. Some of them went underground, but through technology and everything, they tell you they're aliens. But through their technology, now they've decided, or they have been able to clone, find out a way to have a human body that looks just like you. I saw a film. The guy said when they abducted him, they took him and they showed him a film, and they showed him a family washing the car. And he says, can you tell the difference between these people or those people? And the guy said no. And he says, see, one of these days we'll all live together. And so their whole thing was that they want to be among us and live among us and not be recognized as Nephilim, because before they were giants. Mm-hmm. But now they can live among you. This is why Travis Scott and Bill Clinton can be best friends. You know what I mean? It's like, how is that possible? I mean, what do you guys have in common? I know Bill Clinton sitting around listening to rap music. I don't know. This whole thing, and it's the same guy who knew the guy who had the island, the pedophile island, and Bill Clinton took more trips with him there than anybody. So it's like, it seems like all these demonic people know each other and they're hanging out with each other. And so this is what we're dealing with, a spiritual war, okay? Now they want to get rid of you. Depopulation plan. We only want 500 million people on the earth in perfect balance with nature. Because of all of you being born is the reason the world's heating up. And the world's heating up because of the green gas and all of this. And so now, since there's too many people and the world's heating up, if we depopulate and get down to about 500 million, which means what? At least 6 billion got to die in their mind. What kind of human wants to kill 6 billion people?
Right.
No human wants to kill 6 billion people, but demonic Nephilim want to do that. You understand? There is a war out for you.
Yes.
For the most valuable thing that God created is a soul. All souls belong to God. God wants your soul in glory with him. He likes the goofy way you laugh. He likes a lot of things about you, because all of us are different. The guy was telling me, like, we all have a different thumbprint. A billion people, we all have a different thumbprint? That's crazy. There's got to be at least two of us that have the same. You know, I'm somebody, right? So you got to understand, God has created us to be with him. He's building a family. And while not many are saved when it comes to numbers, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that were able to get the Spirit of God in them and save their soul. Because God wants your soul, and He wants to see you enjoy life and laugh and be with friends and all of these things and create. He wants you to be a part of what He created. And He doesn't want to see these Nephilim beings destroy the human race. So right now, He's inviting us to salvation.
Yes.
Through who? Through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, who is the way, which means there is no other way.
Right.
You understand? You got to understand Hebrew. He don't say, I'm one of the ways. Mm-hmm. He says, I am the way. I am the life, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to understand, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to get out of this and have eternal life. And so everybody that's like, oh, this person took the thing so that they, because their job said, and that person took the thing. My thing is not to like, oh, I'm going to talk down about Christians who did. No, my thing is, rather you're saved or you're unsaved, if you took it, I just want you to get saved.
Yes.
Because if you're saved and the rapture happens, you're gone and the little chip is on the ground anyway when you leave. So don't worry about it.
Right.
Now, is it going to cause some health problems? It may not. It affects people differently. But I'm just saying this. Look, the escape from all of this is get saved.
Yes.
You can still accept Jesus Christ. He still loves you. It is not the mark of the beast, because there's no beast here.
Yes.
Okay, so you can, if you took it and you're like, you're not feeling well, or what, are you feeling fine, everything's going, don't let another Christian come to you and say, well, now you can't be saved, because it's a lie from hell.
Amen.
Jesus still loves your soul.
Yes.
He still loves who you are.
Yes.
He still wants to save you.
Yes.
And if you get raptured, that little body can't go to heaven anyway, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So when you go, that little clink clink will be hit the ground. And when they start looking for you, they will find it on the floor.
There you go. Amen.
Okay. Praise God. Okay, so are you in Genesis chapter 6? We were reading that, right? Okay, I got carried away, sorry. It says in verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the air. He says, for I am sorry that I made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Okay. And so now, if you go back to 3, verse 3, it says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So Noah's 48 years old at the time. And when Noah turned 68 on the 17th of Heshvan, my birthday, which is crazy, the flood begins. In 120 years past, and a worldwide judgment came upon the whole world. Now, if Psalms 48 is 1948 and is in the book of Psalms, then Psalms 49 should be 1949. Psalms 47 is definitely 1947, because it mentions what happened in 1947. So God was showing you in Psalms, I'm counting the years. When I get to 120, there's going to be a worldwide judgment. We got to 120 and boom, everything closes. The whole wide world is sick. You guys got it. Even if you don't feel it, you got it. And and we're shutting everything down until we feel like you ain't got it no more. And so the whole world shuts down. People are losing their jobs. And then everybody's like, when is this going to be over? Listen, don't ask the same people that asked that question when in Noah's days. Don't be like that. When is this water going to stop? No, it didn't stop. You understand? It meant that judgment has come, and until God comes down and gets rid of it, it's going to continue. So the flood happened in the 120th year. When 2020 came, it was the 120th year. We got a worldwide judgment. They were on the boat for a full year, which we're almost there. And so now we've got this situation that the fulfillment, because remember what I told you, when God does something, he's speaking about the future. Welcome to the future of the Noah and the ark. Okay, you've seen it, it's here. And now people, I told Drea that I am naive, because I watched the news for the first time, and there were people marching, all kinds of people in the street, like, you can't take our jobs, our body is our body. I was like, all these people are losing their jobs? I'm like, this is crazy. I was like, what happened to, we'll give you some Krispy Kreme donuts if you take it. Now it's like, you know, you don't have no choice. Because before it was like, we'll give you Krispy Kreme donuts, or we'll give you free tickets to a Laker game if you get it. Or, you know, they had a lottery where you can win $1 million if you, and then you put your number in. And they were trying to get every way. Then all of a sudden it became this mandate. And now it's like, oh my goodness. So I saw all these people marching. I said, Drea, I'm naive. This world is upside down. And I have been in a bubble. This world is upside down. And so it doesn't end. Look, after the flood, guess what happened? A guy named Nimrod appeared. After the flood, Nimrod appeared, who is the first Antichrist. And he tells the people, we're going to be one nation, and all of you guys are going to stay here and be under servanthood to me. Nimrod becomes the first Antichrist. And so he's ruling over Babylon. So he becomes the first ruler of Babylon. Now, Mystery Babylon has to be destroyed in the book of Revelation. But he becomes ruler over Babylon, and they're building a tower. And God says, let us go down and destroy what they're trying to do, because if we allowed it, they'll be able to do it. Yeah. So God had to come down and destroy the tower that they were trying to build before that whole mess was over with. And until Jesus comes down and destroys what they're doing, it'll be a mess. So it's already been prophesied, and the whole world is about to enter into it, okay? No, we're sad. Some people are sad, like, I got family members, I got this. Listen, call them, try to get them saved. Tell them, look, this is the last opportunity that you may have to give your life to Jesus Christ. I want my conscience clear that I told you. You can accept Christ and you can get saved. And then they'll go, well, I already took the vax. Just accept Christ and get saved, okay? Because what we're trying to do is get people to in the family of God by accepting Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, okay? That's what we're trying to do. And we want to get as many saved. Now, will that trumpet blow? Yes, unless God is saying to Jesus, no, I heard your prayer about having them up here with me and seeing your glory, but I'm not going to answer that prayer. So we're trying to say, Jesus twice says, I want you to be with me in glory where I am. And if he's not going to bring you up in glory where he is, then something's missing. But Jesus says he wants you up there. He wants you to see. He wants you to be like the Queen of Sheba and be overwhelmed. And we can't give up on people. Not in this last time. And if you are saved, you can't give up on you, because God don't give up on you. So don't jump off the boat because you give up on you. Stay and be the jacked up person that you are and repent. God knew you was jacked up when you walked the aisle. So just hang in there and be who you are and repent and let God deal with the forgiveness part. You understand? He's trying to get you there. You got a short time. It's everybody try to get at least one person saved. Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.